12-Sided Stories is for mature audiences and often deals with topics that may be difficult for some listeners. Discretion is advised. Brave the dark woods of folk horror with us in this Vaisen actual play, The Hidden North. Remember, 12-sided stories are always story-heavy, rules-light, and full of fright.
Hello, and welcome to The Hidden North, episode number 10. My name is Wes Otis. This is our Vaisen actual play. I have one great player with me, Saint.
Hello, I am Saint, or Saint Spider, and I have been playing Sieve, our cowardly-ish occultist, but we're going to change that, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Enjoying the show? Then take a moment to join our Patreon, support the podcast, and get early access to episodes and bonus content. Head to 12-Sided Stories Patreon today.
This episode is a one-on-one game where we're going to dive into Sieve's past before she joined the society and get to know them a little bit better. Now, we're going to do this with each of the characters, and they're going to be a little bit shorter episodes, and then we'll get back to the main story after that. Just a quick recap. In the last game that everybody was together, which was episode 9, we had Sieve and Hildegard at the morgue underneath the police station. They were looking at a corpse from a really grisly scene, trying to figure out what was going on. They found out it was a changeling with a human body, but as an adult. Across town at the asylum, Elizabeth and Hildegard found out that all the people at the asylum had been decimated, killed, murdered, and a troll seems to have drug off Linnea, basically their contact. Elizabeth and Greta followed the blood trail into the forest, found the cave where the troll was at, made some noise and hid. Troll comes out, smells the air. That's when we learn that Greta had been baptized and the troll could hone in on exactly where they were and started running towards them. That's the quick and dirty version. Saint, where did Sieve grow up as a child?
I picture her growing up in a rural environment since I chose occultist. That was one of the first things I thought of, like, okay, where would you be learning maybe some off the beaten path to be on the nose and practicing them where it would be safe, you know, or maybe just not as observed. So absolutely like countryside, rural, definitely not a beautiful ranch. A very livable shack is what I always pictured.
Kind of like the cabin from episode 1, that kind of
perhaps,
thing.
Perhaps.
A smaller cabin.
I was, you know, I had been thinking about that quite a lot, but, you don't want to give everything away for free or quickly. But absolutely, yes, that is the vibe there.
Okay, cool. What I'm going to say is that you have been growing up with your grandmother. She's in her 50s, but, you know, you're probably 13 or 14, so everybody's old after that certain age. Now, I remember your description of adult Sieve. What does 13-year-old Sieve look like? What's the difference, if any?
23 is, now that I'm older than that, I realize it's barely an adult. So sometimes I am, well, I'm not mixing up 13-year-olds and 23-year-olds, but I do
right.
think,
I don't think
not
you would.
That different. Yeah. No, not quite, but sometimes I go, oh, that's not that far into the future. So I'd say that she's definitely a shorter version of herself. She was still gangly in her 20s, and definitely at 13, she was just starting to a bit of a height. What's that? Growth spurt. I was going to say
spurt.
A height shoot.
A height shoot.
Something, you know. That
something like dramatic, yeah. Like that.
Yes. A height launch.
Height launch.
So
going through that, you know, just full of awkward joints and bones, and was still out in the sun enough that she's a tan kind of, I was picturing, I believe I said maybe bronze or caramel, some cool brownish hue.
You had also mentioned, at least for adult Sieve, mm-hmm. that there was some greenish tinge, if I remember.
Yes, mulberry-esque birthmark, but instead of the red wine coloring, it was of a green, almost iridescent hue on the side of her face.
Okay, cool. So you've been living with your grandmother for your entire life. She would always tell you to call her grandmother. There are other children in the area, but it's a rural area, and so the cabins can be kind of far away. There's a lot of fur trappers and things like that. So you've kind of been a little bit isolated. There is a lake nearby, and you have had interactions with some of these kids, but you haven't seen anyone in a long time. Your upbringing has been, I'll say, interesting. Because of the isolation, your grandmother has not explained certain things. She has not explained what parents are or where your parents went. And the concept of anything like children raising or any of that stuff, those subjects haven't been crossed. As a 13-year-old, you have probably found yourself growing in new ways and emotional ways and everything else. And your grandmother has seemed a bit on edge as these different changes have occurred. You're starting to get older, you're starting to become an adult, and it's almost like she wanted more time before this happened, or maybe for it not to happen at all. That birthmark, it feels odd sometimes. Most of the time you don't feel it at all, but sometimes you can feel the outline of the birthmark. One night you're having dinner, it's just you and her, and she tends to buy meat from one of the local trappers and then collects mushrooms and different things like that. She goes, "Steve, I think we should talk a little bit about, well, do you ever wonder where you came from? I mean, beyond what I've already told you about how I've always taken care of you and we've lived here for a long time. Do you ever wonder?"
Steve stops eating and just puts both utensils down, kind of puts her hands in her lap. She's looking at her, but there's like a little trembling sigh comes out before she says, "Yes, yes, a lot. I've wondered so much. I can tell I'm different, but I could tell you didn't want to talk."
"There's nothing wrong with being different, but you're getting older now, and at some point, I'm not going to be able to take care of you anymore. I'm a lot older than a mother. You know, I'm a grandmother. That means I'm older, but, you know, your mother, the person who gave birth to you, where you came from, literally as a human being, she had a lot of issues, a lot of problems, and she couldn't handle being in this house and taking care of a baby. And your father, well, I don't quite know where he is. And so I kept you here. I was hoping your mom might come back at some point, but I don't think she's going to. Sometimes adults have trouble with their minds. It gets very confused. Some children have this problem too, but your mother always had trouble with visions and seeing things that were not there."
Steve kind of sighs a little bit and looks down. "Do you think she didn't want me?"
"Oh, not at all. I know she loved you very much, but I remember one night she had just finished nursing you and had put you down in the bassinet, and she just started crying and was very sad. I think that she felt like she couldn't give you what you needed, and that weighed heavy on her. She also had trouble, like I said, with seeing things. She said that there was a man that would play songs in the forest. I never heard anything. She claimed that he was haunting her and she just couldn't handle it.
Steve just kind of nods and she's like, well, do we think I could ever find her or find maybe my dad?
Child, I don't know. It's hard to say. It's a big world, and I don't know how far or where they went. I hesitated to tell you any of this because I didn't want to get your hopes up on maybe someday being able to find them, you know, just in case. But you're getting to an age now where I know that these kind of questions are going to come up. Plus, like I said, at some point, you're going to have to move out. You don't want to live in this little cabin for your entire life. You need to see the world, too.
Well, it's... And Steve suddenly looks up. Just wasn't thinking about leaving at all. Just maybe it's a shock. But I could stay here and help you. I don't really have to leave.
No, I'm not saying you have to leave right now or anything. But at some point, you're going to want to. I'm talking about after I die. You know how last year you had that rabbit that died and we talked about what death was and... You know, you've seen it before. I mean, I know you're 13. You're old enough to understand these things. But humans die, too. We had that conversation.
Yes.
Well, I'm getting older. And, you know, I don't think it's going to happen right away. But at some point, it will. And I want to make sure that you're ready to handle that when it does.
Okay. And Steve stands up and walks over to her chair and just holds her grandma's hand and is like, I'm so grateful and I just want to do anything to make you happy. If one day I've got to go and go out there in the world, Nancy was just like really emotional and just definitely is expressing how a young person can just get full of like overwhelming emotions. And she's just there kind of saying, I want to do the right thing. I love you. Thank you so much. And thank you for telling me. And just goes in for a hug.
She hugs you back and goes, of course, I love you too. I know this can be hard things to talk about, but it's important. Anyway, now that we're done with dinner, why don't you clean up and head to bed?
Okay. And she just wipes her tears and she, you know, kind of shakes herself off and just very delicately... kind of still processing, picks up the plates and it's kind of taking a glance around the cabin, thinking about, oh, I won't be here forever. Just kind of settling and being responsible, but still like kind of slowly processing that as she, well, probably our wash bucket or situations outside. I just realized Miss Indoor Plumbing over here. Yeah. So yeah, as she takes the dishes and stuff outside.
Okay.
Yeah, she's just being very thoughtful.
So when you get outside, you put the dishes down and off in the distance, you hear this spindle-like sound of violin on the wind coming from the creek that's not far from your place, about 20 yards at most. And it's very complex. It's an intricate little piece of music. Your grandmother had just told you about your mom believing there was someone down by the creek. You can't help but think, is this real? What do you want to do?
I, in the very youthful and naive kind of way, just go straight towards the interesting thing happening. Cautiously, you know, not running, but with that combined information, there's a lot of focus and motivation there.
Okay. So you make your way to the creek. You can see the cabin. You're literally that close. You can still see the cabin through the woods. It's not very far. On this little rock is a tall man with greenish blue skin with full hair, you know, oddly attractive. You've heard your grandmother talk about Vason before, about fairies and sprites and all these things, and that some of them have unearthly beauty. And this particular person definitely does. He's playing this song How do you want to approach when you first see him? Do you stop there and kind of freeze, or do you walk closer?
She immediately freezes, and I would like to make an observation roll.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, let's see. Oh, well, one fell on the floor, but it was also a loss. And okay. To ignore that one, I got 1 6.
All right, that's all you needed. So the things that you notice the most, his clothes are not like any clothes you've seen before. Very rich, very well put together clothes with gold accents and things like that. You probably have never seen gold. You might have heard stories about it. Your grandmother does a lot of trading for what she gets. She does trap her own food as well. You guys do have some livestock, but not a lot. Earthly wealth isn't something that you really know much about. It's not something you've thought a lot about. You also notice that there are 3 or 4 fairies. Now, you've never seen fairies before, but they are near where the fiddle player is playing, and they are kind of looking around, and your grandmother said they are mischief makers. Some of them can be dangerous, but these ones look like they're just enjoying the music. What do you want to do?
Since I'm unseen, I am absolutely intrigued by just what the heck is happening, and I slowly start to approach, hoping to stay hidden behind any accessible foliage.
Okay.
If there happens to be a convenient bush.
I think this is a good place for a stealth roll, actually.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. We've got to fine-tune those abilities anyway. Okay, so we've got 3+. Whoa, wait a minute. Stealth is precision? I overinvested in this. Okay. It's 3+5 for our lovely listeners, so.
I think that stealth is like the main thing that the cultist has, too. Like, that's their, at least in the game-wise, so it makes sense.
You're totally right. I remember thinking, wow, what?
Why okay. Stealth?
I should become an assassin at some point. Oh, well, we'll see if it gets that far. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. All right. Oh, my God. Nary a single success. I shouldn't have talked so much game. Oops. Well.
Whoops. Yeah, that sucks. All right, so you're walking, and like a typical gangly teenager, you stumble and just stumble right over a big bush and straight onto the shore of this little lake, and you make a bunch of noise, and the music abruptly stops. This creature comes over to you. He goes, "Good evening, young one."
I'm sorry. I just heard the song, and it was so beautiful, and I just I didn't mean to make you stop.
Oh, that's okay. You look very familiar to me.
A little bit of sweat, despite the coolness of the night and the lakeshore breeze, forms at her brow. I don't know. Maybe have you ever seen a woman over in this very spot before that looks like me? And then Steve cringes because that was not very tactful, but all right.
Yes, I remember. Ingrid. Is Ingrid your mother?
In all honesty, Steve just says, I don't know.
She used to come down here and listen to the song playing. Usually humans can't hear the song. You're special.
Oh, she starts kind of look around to think, maybe, I don't know if special is a good thing. I think she was my mother. I have been missing her for a very long time. She hasn't been home for a while. I wonder if you've ever seen her since she went missing. But I'm not going to say when she went missing on purpose.
Well, she did take lessons from me for a while, so I just figured that one day she decided to go make her fortune. She disappeared a while back. I don't ever remember her being pregnant, so maybe that's why she never came back for the rest of her lessons.
Again, trying to process a lot of shock and confusion. Steve just nods. It's like, all right, cool.
I bet you have a lot of musical talent as well. Your mother did.
Oh, I've
I'm much better with animals and dirt and maybe crafting some things, but I've never done anything like that. That's for finer people.
Everybody has to become finer. It's not something you're born into. Well, I guess you can be born into it.
And Steve just glances at the amazing clothes he's wearing and his gorgeous hair and is like,
yeah, sure, that makes sense, dude. He goes, well, would you like a lesson?
Steve's heart kind of accelerates. She feels a bit of fear, but also it's so enticing. So she says, okay.
So he goes, well, take my hand and we'll go and we'll have a lesson and you'll be home in no time.
Is he walking on water, by the way?
He had a Jesus moment where he walked across to the shore where you're at. So.
Okay. So a little bit of, okay. And she reaches out and grabs his hand.
All right. He takes you back across the water and you walk on the water as well. And when he reaches for his fiddle, you both basically disappear into the water. It gets really deep, and suddenly you find yourself in a different realm. Meanwhile, back at the cabin, your grandmother comes out to the front door and says, Steve, where are you? You find yourself deep down inside of a underwater cave, and it's... Yes, it's a cave, but it's been built into almost like a, I'm going to say, hobbit hole kind of situation where, you know, earthen walls, but really nice upholstery and stuff like that. And he pulls out two music stands and he puts one in front of you and he says, okay, we're going to start at the beginning. And he starts playing a song and you see sheet music in front of you and you start playing and you're matching him. And he's like, in no time, you'll be as good as me. So what I want you to do is make a precision roll, which you get 5 dice for that.
Scary. 1 success.
Woohoo.
Okay, I was like, dude, I need more than one.
So you are doing really well, and the lessons continue and continue. It never seems to really stop, and you're... fingers bleed and you make faces to complain, but he doesn't talk, so you don't talk for some reason, and you're matching his melodies and playing all of these ancient songs, and around you is all of this sheet music just everywhere. Can you make a fear check as this grinding musical lesson just does not seem to stop?
Oof. I'm terrified my arms are going to fall off, but I'm hungry.
Yeah, and you can see blood in the water as it's floating through.
But very cool image. Okay, and that's with your logic or empathy, right?
Yeah, you get to pick, which for you, it's the same for either.
Makes it easy. Oh, my God. Okay, not see. And, oh, shoot. Okay, no success.
Okay.
We're really 50-50 today.
Yeah, this goes on and on and on. And finally, at some point, he goes, all right, you've done well. You've passed the first lesson. There's a bed over there. Go get some sleep.
Does she still have her wound?
Your fingers are still bleeding, but it doesn't seem to hurt as much now that you're not playing anymore.
It's the same in real life, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so she's shaking and she's just trying to kind of maybe wipe the blood off on her pants and just looking around and can I do an observation of my
surroundings?
Yeah, though you did already describe it, but I wonder if there's anything hidden.
Any extra thing? Yeah, do an observation. Why not?
Okay, so observation, I believe that was 5. Verify. Yes, okay. All right, you were just mean to me, so don't be mean to me. Thank you. Okay, 1 success. Thank you.
Okay, cool. You're looking around. Here's what you see. There are several water spirits. They're small. They kind of look like water fairies, you would even say. And they are doing things around the house, putting away sheet music, creating food out of just nothingness. At some point, one of them brings you some kelp and some other weird-looking things to eat before you go to bed. You don't know why you can breathe underwater, but you seem to be able to breathe. And at some point, a water spirit will slip out of your mouth and another one will go in. You know, it shocks you at first, and you have to grab your throat for a moment as the changing of the guard happens. There is a door, a hatch, towards the top of this place that you could swim to escape. And there is one piece of music on the stand, and it just says Elizabeth's Sonata.
Can I remember if I had played that song, or if that was a song I was practicing with?
Your head is so discombobulated from playing for what felt like a week, literally, that you're not sure how many different songs you played. But something sticks out about that particular thing. There are several different songs all around here with individual names on them. And the weird thing is they all look sort of similar. You also know how to play the violin now, oddly.
Oh yeah, and music literacy now.
Yeah, you kind of understand all of this. Now, after being forced to do it like this, it's not something you're really, you know, jazzed about, but, you know.
It's very fair.
So what do you want to do after you eat your greens from underneath the sea?
Yes, my beautiful, delicious seaweed gruel. I'm sure it's extremely healthy, and I'll eat it, and I will, as much as possible, try to get comfortable and feign sleep just as much as possible.
No problem. Let's use, dear God, you don't have a lot of stuff.
I know, for some reason focused it on, like, precision ranged combat.
Yeah, we're going to have to use that at some point. It's like the heavy machinery in Delta Green. He had heavy machinery in that.
I still appreciate you setting that.
I tried my best.
And then in the end, look, there was like a fire going on and stuff. Yeah. It's okay.
Let's use observation, and you can use, I would say, precision, because you're trying to be precise with what you're doing. You're looking for the easiest way to grab Ingrid's music and get out of that hatch.
Mm-hmm. I follow that logic, and I agree. Okay, so here we go. Precision in conjunction with observation, or that's
you
just...
get both.
Both, okay.
So you get 5 plus 1, so 6 dice altogether.
6 dice? All right, here we go. At least one of you guys, come on. One day I'll just get loaded.
One day I'll just get loaded?
I'm joking. I shouldn't even say that it's a joke. Okay, I got 1 success.
Imagine. All right. So you're able to get Ingrid's music, and you swim up to the portal, and you open it up, and you feel like you're really far underneath water. But when you look up, the water between where the hole is to his little cave and the top of the water looks like it's only like 6 inches or maybe even a foot. It's kind of weird. And you start pulling yourself out, and you see the water sprites start to move around quickly as they see you escape. And Fossgrim suddenly wakes up and says, "Your lessons aren't over. Why would you leave?"
I have to go home. I have to go home.
I need you to make a physique roll for me.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, this is where your character's going to have the most problems.
Oh, man, can I just use my thin frame to float to the surface?
It's only 6 inches of water.
Right.
All you have to do is pull yourself up. You're drowned in any amount of water.
I'm just glad there's no Kelpie coming in. He's not riding a Kelpie up to just...
No. To take you away forever.
Yeah, it's like, sorry, idiot. This is our ranching. I'm sorry. What is coming out of my mouth? Okay. I'm trying to run away from doing this role. Okay, so physique, just 2. Oh, dear. Okay.
Yep, there you go.
That's what I did. That's what I chose. All right.
You did. Wow.
Please. I'm using the ones that gave me 6s before. I got 2 5s.
Okay.
That's really mean. That's very cruel.
That is very cruel. So you get up there, and he's right on your heels, and you can feel him reaching towards you, and you get out of the water, and you start to run, and he burst out of the water. When you make it past the edge of the lake, he goes, "Friends, help me. She needs to learn her lessons. She has not learned enough of the songs." And suddenly, like locusts, all of these fairies come out of the woods and start to chase you. And you're yelling and screaming as you're running. And they start to grab onto you to try to slow you down. So you're covered in fairies that are biting and tearing at your clothing and at your skin and everything else. And you're making your way to the cabin, trying just to get to the cabin. And you see the door is closed and your grandmother opens the door. Can you make a fear check for me?
Okay. It's like I knew, like I kind of established that this would have happened to me, but I'm still reacting like, oh, gross.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay, I got 1 success.
Okay, so you don't pass out. You are freaking out a little bit, but you don't pass out or anything. And your grandmother comes out of the door, and she's much older. She looks a lot older. And she goes, "Steve, oh my God, are you okay? What's going on?" She can't see the fairies. So she comes over and takes your arm. And when she touches you, the fairies start to let go because she is definitely probably a Christian and they don't like her touching you. And you hear the sound of violent fiddle playing in the background as Fossgrim tries to get you to return to him for your lessons. She pulls you into the cabin. And she's coughing a bit, and she goes, "You're still the same age you were. What? Where have you been?"
I was in the lake, but it couldn't have been that long. What happened to you? I saw the man. I saw the man that you told me my mom saw. He forced me to learn, and I couldn't. I couldn't get away. I'm so sorry. What happened?
You've been gone for 25 years.
Steve is speechless. She doesn't just...
"I looked all over for you for literally, I think, 4 or 5 years. I even went to the city, to Copenhagen, and as far as Uppsala, and I couldn't find you anywhere. And...
I was just...
And she's just... kind of uselessly pointing at the direction of the lake. And...
"Oh, child. Well, I'm glad you're safe. But I'm sorry. I have bad news. I'm not feeling very good, and I don't know how much longer I'm going to be here." And she sits down on her bed. She goes, I need to tell you something.
Steve just follows and kneels beside her bed and just tries to hold her hands, kind of reminiscent of the scene at the table.
"You're... Mother told me the reason she left was because she said the man by the river was your father. That you're part changeling, I guess, or part Vaisen, or I didn't believe her. And you being gone for so long and so young, though, there's no other explanation for it."
Steve just gasps. How?
"She said that the man down by the river was your father. I told her there was no man down by the river. She thought she was in love with him. And she was never gone as long as you were, though. She always said he wanted her to come back the next day, and that was it. I don't know why he tried to hold on to you. If you're his daughter, maybe he wanted you to stay."
The very kind of hot, roiling feeling in her belly starts to... exist and manifest, and she just says, "Did she ever say that she'd maybe want to come back for me?"
"I don't think she understood that concept. I think that being with whoever that man is scrambled her mind, drove her over the edge of being able to, you know, contemplate reality."
Steve recalls the confusion and disorientation from just the one seemingly one lesson, and nods her head
It makes a lot of sense. I just, I don't really know what to do. Will I have to run from this man too? I just don't.
And she looks at her grandmother and she knows that the answers are not there.
Right. Because she doesn't have the gift. She believes you because you were gone for so long and you're still 13. But she doesn't understand how or why. And she goes, child, I have money in the chest over there. There's a small wooden box on the mantle. And after I'm gone, I want you to take that money and take your clothes and everything else and get away from that creek. And I know you're going to want to look for answers, but just be careful. They're not human, whatever those things are. And so they don't have the same desires and wants as man. They can be different. And some of those are going to be good. Some of them are going to be terrible, just like men. But you don't know what set of things they're going to do. That thing at the creek might consider that he loves you, that he's doing the best thing for you. But you're human, too. And staying there in whatever place that is means that the world, the human world, goes on without you. So just promise me you'll get away from here.
Sif nods emphatically and is even still listening for, like, if the fairies are still outside. Like,
yeah, they're buzzing around. You can hear their wings. They're buzzing around like hummingbirds, agitated hummingbirds.
Ugh.
And you can still hear the sound of the music playing.
Sif just nods but puts her head down like near her grandmother's lap and kind of just starts to cry, but it's like, I understand.
She strokes your hair gently and you fall asleep after a while. And for the next couple of weeks, you and your grandmother have these long talks. She tries to fill you in on the world that is far away so that when you leave, you have some inkling of what's going to happen. She tells you to avoid men, even the men that seem nice, until you learn how to read them. She tells you about how to take care of yourself, about maybe finding a place to live and a place to work. At this point in history, you have about a relatively good education for someone your age. Kids didn't stay in school until high school unless they were rich, so that wasn't really a thing. But after a few weeks, you wake up in the morning and your grandmother doesn't move. She's cold. She's not breathing.
Even though she had been told, it's still like another moment of like complete and utter devastation.
People can say, hey, this is going to happen, and it still sucks when it does.
Exactly. So I'm assuming that, or like there is a kind of like a people you can call to at least maybe get the body to the cemetery or whatever country cemetery is happening there.
You would probably go to the nearest farm and ask for help, and they would help you bury the body, probably in the backyard.
Steve creates her own a headstone as well, just out of things in the house, some sturdy hardwood that would have been available. Yeah.
No, that's fine. All right, so you create this, and the final scene, we'll say, is you walking down the road with your bundle of stuff under your arm. The next door neighbors probably gave you a little wagon to carry some more stuff in, and you have a pocket full of silver coins for when you get to the city. You're not quite sure what you'll do there. You're trying to think of all the things your grandmother told you and working through the grief of losing her, realizing that you're on your own. You hear way off in the distance the sound of music playing as if calling you one last time as you get out of earshot. Fast forward several years later, 10, and you find yourself in your room in Castle Gillenkreutz. And you think about all this because you've wanted to study these creatures, and so much has happened in those 10 years. You've learned how to deal with all of the things that the city has brought, but you still like being in the woods. And you try to keep your grandmother as close as possible. And you look at the sheet music that says Ingrid on it. And for the first time since the time that you played with your possible father, you wonder what the notes of Ingrid's song sound like. And that is where we will end this episode.
Whew. Yes. What an origin.
Did you like that?
Yes. No, thank you for just doing it so much more justice than I could ever imagine.
I liked it too. I think it's good. We've done this a few times. I don't think we ever did this with any of your games before, but we've started doing it. It definitely allows people a chance to dive into their characters and get some background that they might not have had before.
Yes, and we love it.
So I know the internet is not something you're on very often right now, or at least social media. If people wanted more Saint, where would they go?
Well, yes, if that so applies to you, you can find me or you know, tag me in the 12-Sided Stories Discord, official Discord. I am definitely in there. And I always mention I do have a Twitter account. Don't use it really currently, but it is Saint Spider TV, all spelled out. But honestly, then just check out the back catalog of 12-Sided Stories because they have been so wonderful to me and have included me in so many projects. And I love it. I always have a great time.
I am Plate Mail Games on all the social media. It's all one word. You find me on whatever place you are at. And then also we are 12-Sided Stories, the number 12, and then Sided Stories on all the socials. And then our website is 12-Sided Stories spelled out. And then, if you want to help out, you can now get a subscription through Buzzsprout and get exclusive stuff there as well as Patreon, or give us a shout out or a review. Those things help a great deal. We will see you next week with another story. Saint, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll see you later.
Bye.